Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri. I'm Pastor Fox, sitting in for Pastor Dan Dietrich this week. Next week, Lord willing, we will take the broadcast segment to interview Pastor Dietrich about his trip to Belarus, which is where he is now. Last week, I took a few minutes to talk about bad things happening to good people, or maybe I should say supposedly bad things happening to supposedly good people. One of the statements I made last week was, there are no good people. I meant there are no perfectly good people, save Jesus Christ, of course, who lived as a man on the earth a couple millennia ago. And some people would take me to task on that statement. Understanding the nature or the innate character of humanity is important, because if a man does not recognize or acknowledge his sin, he can't be delivered from its penalty. Sometimes you may hear it said this way, a man can't get saved until he is lost. Jesus himself put it this way, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. A man may be eaten up with cancer, but until he admits that he needs help, he can't be helped. So with men in their relationship with God, until they recognize and admit their separation from God by sin, they're not going to seek reconciliation. Maybe you've heard some of the philosophies that people preach. There's the philosophy that says there's a little bad in the best of us and a little good in the worst of us. My question is, where did any of the bad come from? Or here's another philosophy that I've heard. We're all born good, but we're tainted by bad influences. Again, my question is, where do the bad influences come from? We begin to find the answer to this question when we realize that the Bible's not only true spiritually or in a spiritual context, but it is also accurate historically, and it tells us that there was a day when there was no sin. God created the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, and they lived in the Garden of Eden. They lived in a perfect environment, a world untouched by the effects of a curse. They were given only one prohibition. They were not to eat of one specific tree. But when they were tempted by Satan, the fallen angel, they chose to disobey. The book of Romans refers to this incident when it says, "Wherefore, as by one man, that is Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam is the father of us all, and he was our corporate head, and the consequences of his decision to sin have affected all of us, namely in passing to us a sin nature." The first two sons born to Adam and Eve were named Cain and Abel, and they were raised, obviously, in the same family by the same parents. But one day they came to offer sacrifices to God. Abel brought a lamb, a blood sacrifice. This pictured the work that God had already done for Adam and Eve when he slew an animal and used its skin as a covering for their nakedness after their disobedience. Cain, however, chose to bring a bloodless sacrifice, a selection of crops that were grown out of the earth. But apparently this was not what God wanted, because the scriptures say that God did not accept Cain's sacrifice, but we also read that God gave him an opportunity to do right. Cain, even though he was raised in the same family environment as Abel, chose to rebel against God, while Abel chose to obey. And then Cain's anger finally displayed itself when he slew his own brother in the field. One would have to ask, where did such anger and murder come from in the life of Cain? Well, it came from his heart, which was bent to sin, his heart which he had refused to submit to God's authority. The Bible continues to give example after example of the sin of people. In fact, all through the ages, men have resisted the working of God and rebelled against his authority. In the perfect Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve rebelled. God eventually gave the law, and men sinned against the law. God has given men a conscience, his law written in their hearts, and men act contrary to their conscience. God has instituted human government, and men chafe against that as well. The Bible even gives us glimpses of future events, and you know what? Until eternity, mankind won't change. We believe that Jesus Christ will come unexpectedly and catch away his church. After that happens, though, the world will enter a period of time that we call the tribulation. And during that time, most people will bow to the pressure of a man we call the Antichrist. There you see it again, sinful man following the personification of wickedness itself. After Jesus returns to the earth and defeats the Antichrist and those aligning with him, a period of 1,000 years will commence in which Jesus reigns physically on the earth. Satan will be bound and cast into the bottomless pit. The Antichrist and his false prophet will be gone. The world will be at peace under the reign of the Prince of Peace. But guess what? After the 1,000 years, Satan will be released from the bottomless pit. And the scripture says, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Did you hear that? People have just lived during 1,000 years of absolute peace under a perfect king with saints all around, and they rebel against him. Thousands, probably millions, maybe more. Why? Why do they rebel in that environment? Because, my friend, the heart of man is naturally bad. During the millennium, babies will still be born with that fallen nature from our father Adam, and that heart must either confess and submit to Christ's lordship, or it must rebel. Speaking of children, have you ever noticed what you don't have to teach them? I've enjoyed the opportunity when I get to speak to children to call up one of the kids and ask them a few questions, and I might ask something like this. Did your mom or dad ever have to teach you to be mean to your brother or sister? I mean, did they have to say, Johnny, if they take your toy, don't ask for it back. Instead, slam them on the head. Of course, no one ever tells me that their parents had to teach them that. Or maybe I'll say, did your mom sit down and give you a lesson on how to sass and pout and fuss and complain and throw a big temper tantrum and be disrespectful? Did they have to kind of give you lessons on that? Now, it seems funny, but the fact of the matter is, parents don't have to educate their children to be bad. They have to educate them to do right. The bad comes naturally. You might say, well, my kid was influenced by another kid to do that. The other kid's heart may have more experience in sinning, but your child still decided to do wrong, most likely because he wanted to. As we close, though, let's not talk about philosophy or history or your children. Let's talk about you. Are you a sinner? God expressed his character in the Ten Commandments, and that would be a great comparison for us this morning. So let's just think through a few of these and see how you fare. Commandment number 3 says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Have you ever chosen to use the name of God to express contempt and anger? Another commandment says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Have you committed adultery? Men, Jesus said that if you've looked on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. So have you ever looked on a woman and had a lustful thought? Here's another one. Thou shalt not steal. Have you ever stolen anything, no matter what the value? Have you taken something that did not rightfully belong to you? Commandment number 9 says, thou shalt not bear false witness. In other words, don't lie. Have you ever lied? Have you ever intentionally deceived someone? I don't believe there's anyone listening to my voice this morning who has not violated one of these commandments, and I haven't even listed all of them. The Bible says in 1 John 1:8, If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Two verses later, John writes, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So don't lie to yourself this morning and don't call God a liar. His word is true even if the whole world disagrees. And his word says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us reach the mark because we're sinners by choice and sinners by our very nature. I'm telling you the truth because you will never be reconciled to God unless you humbly come to him as a sinner. You have sinned. But the fact that you've broken God's law is only indicative of something worse. You're a sinner by nature. It's who you are. And sinners are at enmity with God. But might I say as we close, God in his tremendous love sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for your sin. You see, it would be impossible for a perfectly pure God to just overlook your sin. The penalty of the broken law had to be paid. The Bible says that the penalty for sin is death, and one of the types of death spoken of in Scripture is a spiritual death, a separation from God forever. Jesus Christ came to earth, lived a sinless life, fulfilled the law, and then allowed men to crucify him. He shed his blood on that cross as a perfect sacrifice, as a substitute for you and me. Then he was buried, but 3 days later, he rose from the grave, which proved that God was satisfied with his sacrifice. Now you can be reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." If you'll come to God this morning, you must confess that you're a sinner and receive Jesus Christ as your deliverer. He alone can deliver you from sin and make you something new. So this morning, I encourage you to turn from your sin and run to Jesus Christ. Don't lie to yourself and think that you're not a sinner. Admit the truth and submit to Jesus Christ. May God use this short lesson in your heart in the minutes and the hours and the days to come. Thank you for listening. Again, I encourage you to tune in again next week and hear about Pastor Dietrich's trip to Belarus. I'm Pastor Fox, signing off for now. Good day, and God bless. Been listening to the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri. If this program has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through our website at www.fbcwayland.org or by giving us a call at 660-754-6312 or by dropping us a line at P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri, 63472. My friend, it's not yet 9 o'clock, and you still have time to get to church this morning. So why don't you decide right now that today you're going to make it to church? If you don't have a church home, let me invite you to visit us here this morning at First Baptist Church, located in Wayland, Missouri, on Highway B, just an eighth mile north of Highway 136. For directions to our church or to listen to more preaching, log on to our website, www.fbcwayland.org. Once again, that's www.fbcwayland.org.